Look in the book of Proverbs. Some of the things that about the book of Proverbs are unique as far as the scriptures are concerned. It's very condensed teaching. Very few words, and it speaks volumes. And one of the words that has stuck out to me for quite some time is the word understanding. It's understand, and understanding is found 66 times in the book of Proverbs. So it's important that we understand. Obviously, it's one thing to have knowledge, gain information. It's another thing to have wisdom, using that knowledge in a right manner. And it's another thing to have understanding and knowing why and how things fit together. I know all young people, children, are different, I recognize, but quite often I've been around small kids that were always coming up with why. Always saying, why? And that's a pretty good question to ask, because they want to get understanding. And the way to get understanding is beyond just knowing something, but why is it that way? And so there's right in the beginning of the book of Proverbs, in the first chapter, the second verse, it says to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. And then a really well-known verse is in chapter 9 and verse 10, speaking of understanding. It says in Proverbs 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So, to begin to get wisdom, there has to be what is termed the fear of the Lord, a knowledge of the Lord that brings about respect, reverence, and trust. And so that's where wisdom begins. So apart from knowing the Lord, you can't have wisdom. Tied in with the fact of respect or trusting. And then it says, a knowledge of the holy is understanding. There cannot be understanding then apart from the knowledge of the holy. And to get a little bit of perspective and understanding, one of the things that has been very prominent in what's called Christianity has been that which they have termed themselves, they coined the name of New Evangelical. The hallmark of New Evangelicalism is that they major on the love of God, and to the detriment or complete ignorance, ignoring the holiness of God. Because they say we don't want a negative message, we just put forth positive things. Love of God is positive. But why should the holiness of God be conceived by them as being negative? And obviously, if that's the case, according to Proverbs 9:10, they don't have understanding. Because the knowledge of the holy is understanding. God's holiness is the most emphasized attribute that you can find in the Word of God. His holiness is emphasized more than any other attribute. And every attribute of God is subject to His holiness. None can violate His holiness. His love does not violate His holiness. And so, in understanding about that, you can make the observation to understand that God's love is His desire to impart truth and holiness. And apart from doing that, you don't understand God's love. But when you see the word is there, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A knowledge of the holy is understanding. That's a state verb, a state of being. It is. One of the things that I did in the years that I taught algebra was to make use of that state verb. Word problems, to set up an algebraic equation from words, there's a real simple truth that helps you to get started making a right equation out of the sentences. When you see the word is in the word problem, put the equal sign where the is. What's before the is on one side of the equation. What follows is on the other side. See that? Understand? Does the light come on? If this is this, then this equals this. Put the equal sign there. Put down what's preceding the equal sign, what follows it, and the biggest problem you have in doing word problems in algebra is get the right equation. Once you get that, you know what to do with it. And so, I think there's some of the kids that are studying algebra now, and they're nodding. But there's certain keys that you learn. That's a big key to solving those problems. And it's a big key to understanding the Word of God, you see. A knowledge of the holy is understanding. Without that which precedes the knowledge of the holy, you do not have understanding. Simple as that. So, in the book of Proverbs, with all of the 66 times that the word appears in one form or another, from two or three different Hebrew words that are translated understand or understanding in chapter 2, where I want to look at here a few minutes. Chapter 2, and read as you follow along as I read the first 12 verses. Understanding is stated here 8 times in these 12 verses. Proverbs 2:1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. Let's ask the Lord to bless this passage to our hearts tonight. Father, we're thankful that you've provided such clear instruction, concise, and able to convey your mind on these very important subjects of gaining wisdom and understanding through the Word of God. And we're thankful that we have not only the Word, but we have the author of the Word that can help us to be led into right understanding of what's been written and how to apply it. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. So in the first verse, we see in these verses choices and consequences of those choices. The choices are in verse 1, to receive his words, my words, and hide my commandments with thee. People choose to receive his words, the commandments that are involved, or they choose not to. If you will receive those words, so that this result or this consequence comes to pass in verse 2, that you incline your ear unto wisdom. Your ears are open to help you to drink in that which is the wisdom found from the Word that God is giving us. And on top of that, we apply thine heart to understanding. So, with our senses, we receive the Word. With our will, our heart, we apply those words and commandments to our heart, such that understanding will result. There's much said in the scripture of Proverbs about scorners. A scorner is the one who is doing the opposite of what it says here. They're turning their ears off when they hear it, and they won't apply their heart to what they hear so that they would have understanding. And so a scorner is in a very dangerous situation. And much and often in the book of Proverbs, it speaks about scorners. It makes a statement that reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. This is one thing that is necessary as far as discretion or discernment, is that if someone has a scornful attitude, you have to deal with them differently than you would a non-scorner. And all of us are susceptible to be in the category of being ones who scorn. If there's something in the Word of God that we don't want to hear at that time, we can easily get a scornful attitude. And that's a very consequential place to be. Bad circumstances will go along with it. In verse 3, it says, "Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding." This means that there's a real strong desire to seek after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding. Then in the fourth verse, it reinforces this by saying, "If thou seekest her as silver," the Hebrew word, verb seekest there, is in the intensive, payel. You intensely seek, and you intensely would as you would be seeking silver. In other words, if there was a deposit of silver in a vein in a rock in the mountains, you would go after getting that seam broke up where you could get it out. You wouldn't just peck around at it. You'd be working at it intensely. And this is what we must do in inclining our ear unto wisdom and applying our heart to understanding in the same manner as we would if we were seeking out silver and searching for hid treasures. Then there's a consequence in verse 5, a result. "Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." This is the conditions then, the choices that we make to receive the Word of God and hide His commandments with us. So that's why we spend the time and the money in our lives being where the Word of God is taught. What's the difference between gathering here tonight where we intend to bring the Word of God and to meditate and think on a portion of the Word of God, and staying at home and say, well, I'll open my Bible there. What advantage is there to us spending the gas money to get here? It's the purpose that the Lord has given for a local church to do that very thing. And if that's His purpose, and He has said that we're gathered together in His name, He's in the midst of us, then there's an advantage to us being gathered together around this purpose. That's got to be part of the understanding of the why. Why are we here? It says in verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. What comes out of the Lord's mouth? It's the Word of God. Again. So, again, it's saying that the Word of God is the means that the Lord uses to give us wisdom and to come to knowledge and understanding. And in verse 7, He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. So now in these verses, verse 7 following, He's pointing out that in learning, we learn for the purpose of giving us direction in our life, our walk. Our walk follows what we learn from the Word of God. That's important to to recognize because if our walk or our practice does not follow what we're teaching, then we're going to have a confused message. It's going to not be an effective teaching if it is not followed by practice. And therein is our mankind's biggest problem. A great many people don't have the Word of God or don't take advantage of the Word that they could have. And a good proportion of those that do, when the Word brings something that they don't want to follow, their practice will deny it. And that means then that they really don't understand. The Word also, besides sound wisdom for the righteous, He's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He's the one who can strengthen us in doing so. None of us in our old natures are capable of walking uprightly. We don't have it. And unless we get that walk from the sound teaching and understanding that this applies, how it applies, the walk won't be upright. Verse 8, He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of His saints. Still talking about our walk. called to the way. Jesus said in John 14:6, what? I am the way, first of all, and the truth, and the life. So, he preserveth the way of his saints. That's a tremendous truth. Apart from the Lord being trusted in reverential trust, our way will not be God's way. And so it says that this is the case in verse 9, another then, another consequence. Then shalt thou understand three things: righteousness, judgment, and equity. Yea, every good path. These things are understood then. Then shalt thou understand what is righteous, what is right judgment, and doing right things. Equity means doing rightly. And so, when wisdom in verse 10 entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee. Those two verses have a terrific message to them. When wisdom enters into thine heart, not just knowing it, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. One of the things that is hard to do in teaching children, and probably adults as well, but thinking of children in the time of teaching them, is that our old natures are lazy natures. Most kids are not wanting to work. And school, they term as work. And so, one of the greatest incentives for a child to have in learning is achievement. Once they can see that by learning this, oh, I can do so much more now, especially in the skill subjects of English and math. You get the more background you get, the more you've got to work with. And so achievement then is its own incentive, which I believe is said here, when wisdom enters into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Man, that's great. I'm learning. I want to learn more. How do you instill that? It has to start with discipline. You've got to do this. You're not going to get to do anything else until you finish this. And then once they can get that, this will feed on itself and bring about the discipline is at the base of this, the beginning of it. I've seen it happen. And it's a tough battle sometimes, but I can remember one girl particularly that I taught. She came into algebra and scared to death. She had had a background all through grade school of not liking arithmetic, math, and didn't have a good background. She had to take algebra when she got to high school, and she was scared to death. The first day of school, I told the kids that they only had to do two things to ace algebra. Only two things. One was that they had to have their mind open, and I was going to teach them algebra by thinking out loud. And that if they would think like I programmed them to think, that was the first thing they had to do. The second thing is that we're going to do the work. You're going to do every problem in the book. No evens on this day and odds the next day. If you do those two things, you will ace algebra. And I could see this girl, whom I knew had this thing about, I will never get it, no way. I see her go like that. She did that, and in 6 weeks, her parents came to me and said, I don't know what you did, but our daughter says the best class she has is math. And we were scared that she would never get it. You see, achievement brings about pleasantness of knowledge, wanting it. It's not a drudgery, it's great. It applies to math, it applies to English, and it applies to the Word of God. I would think it probably applies to a lot of things in life. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, in verse 11. To be preserved and kept is a result of understanding. Verse 12 says, the result will be to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. And you see, what we need in our lives and our children's lives is some assurance that the Word of God will be that which will be their guidepost. That they won't go the way of the world, that they're living in this world and have all of the things leading us wrongly. We don't want our children going that way. It's a heartache, terrible consequences. But the Scripture says that if you follow these first 11 verses, it'll deliver you from the way of the evil man. So the battle is worth it. The knowledge of from the words of God, along with understanding. Proverbs says, to get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. There's passages of Scripture that I want to use to close with that applies this truth. It's been applied in the past. It's found in 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32. You'll turn back to 1 Chronicles chapter 12. The context of the 32nd verse here is very important to see the import of what the 32nd verse is saying. Verse 32 says, "And of the children of Issachar," which were men that had what? Understanding. Understanding of what? Of the times that they were living in. To know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. Here, this is a record of the men from the various tribes that came to help David to take over the kingdom in the time when David had been anointed by Samuel as Saul was still king. And of course, Saul was not wanting to lose the kingship and tried to kill David for years. Here's a record of the ones that came to help David to accomplish what Israel ought to do at that time. Just look here in these verses, verse 22 of that chapter. "For at that time, day by day, there came to David to help him until it was a great host like the host of God." In verse 23, "And these are the numbers of the bands that were ready armed to the war and came to David to Hebron to turn the kingdom of Saul to him according to the word of the Lord." That's what, according to the word of the Lord through Samuel, David was to become king. And just look at what this context reveals. Those that were fighting men, that's what he needed. He needed to have men that could fight, that were armed. In verse 24, "The children of Judah that bear shield and spear were 6,800 ready armed to the war. Of the children of Simeon, mighty men of valor for the war, 7,100. Verse 27, "Jehoiada was the leader of the Aaronites, and with him were 3,700. Zadok, a young man mighty of valor, and of his father's house, 22 captains. Of the children of Benjamin, 3,000. Verse 30, "The children of Ephraim, 20,800, mighty men of valor, famous throughout the house of their fathers. Half tribe of Manasseh," in verse 31, 18,000. Down in verse 37, "On the other side of Jordan, of the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half tribe of Manasseh, 120,000. All of these thousands that came to David are listed. And right in the middle of it is the statement that 200 men that had understanding from Issachar came to help David. Understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. So, as far as numbers goes, that's insignificant, but over, if you add up all of these that's listed here, it's over 300,000 men. And he lists 200 that had understanding. How did these men of Issachar have understanding and it wasn't spoken of others that had it? I don't know. From any knowledge I have of the scriptures, it isn't revealed how were these men, but I would suspect that God sent somebody to teach them such that they resulted in having understanding. It could have been Samuel, because he went on circuit every year, the scripture says. It says some places that he went. Issachar was ways north of where Samuel's home was in Ramah, which was not that far north of New Jerusalem. Up Issachar was up in the area where the Megiddo Valley comes into the Jordan River, on the north side of the Megiddo Valley and the east side of it, was Issachar's land that they had been given. And so that was terrifically important that the Lord mentioned that here. Why did he mention it? I believe the application is very clear to us in this age of local churches. We need the horses. We need people that are young and have energy and apply themselves and work and give to make a local church go. But we need people of understanding also. Just as Israel needed to know what they ought to do, the church needs to know what they ought to do. That's understanding, you see. It's one thing to have knowledge, and you've got to have knowledge, but it should lead to putting it rightly applied and understood so that you understand what's the ramifications because of these truths. And so, to me, that's words of understanding, or that which brings about understanding is so clearly revealed there in those verses in Proverbs 2. What's involved in getting understanding? That I felt that would be profitable to us. Out of 300,000 men plus, over 300,000. I think they add up to 315,200 here. 200 men that had understanding of what they ought to do, with men looking to their understanding and willing to follow it, is a terrific asset that David had to have the kingdom come into his hands. And so local churches, this local church, needs to be seeking not only just for knowledge, but to understand what they have to do from that knowledge. And the pastor has been very clear in teaching us sound doctrine with the idea of putting it to practice. That's why he came up with the idea of having families or individuals take a street in town and try to deal with the people on that street and have that as their responsibility, putting forth the word that needs to go forth. And many other things that he's initiated. He understands that there's needs around that the Lord has enabled us to have the means to meet. And so we can to that and have understanding of what's involved and why this is what the Lord would have us to do. It's there's all kinds of applications, you see, if you think upon those lines. So, close in a word of prayer here, and we'll have the evening offering following. Father, we do thank you for those things that you've revealed in the Word of God. We're thankful that we have the opportunity to study, meditate, and weigh the implications of that which you've given in the Word of God. We pray that we might have the understanding that we need in our daily lives, individually, as families, most certainly as a local assembly of believers here, that we need to continually understand that which we need to do with what you've given us and what we learn in the way in which we can be involved in bringing it to others. Pray that the night here would be a blessing and bless the prayer time as we give our thanks and petitions to you. In Christ's name, amen.